We're going to thoroughly cover all the aspects of the Sabbath in the Bible and men's arguments concerning why they keep Sunday and so forth. And I think that we'll find that the Sabbath is the only day, as we've seen, that God has ever sanctified and set aside as a weekly day of worship and rest for Him. Now let's go back to Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, and let's see that the Israelites were also violating God's laws and commandments by Sunday worship. Now, what do I mean by that? Whenever you read about Baal, Baal is the sun god, and Ashtaroth is the female counterpart, which we have today in the Catholic Church as the Virgin Mary. In Babylon, it was Semiramis. And of course, all the other names of it, if you get the book, The Two Babylons, and read that all the names of these gods and deities came out of Babylon. And when the language was changed at the Tower of Babel, the names were changed. But it's still the same old worship. Now let's see something very important here in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, which is this. The Israelites, just like those people today who claim to be the people of God, who claim to worship God on Sunday, who claim to say that they have license to do this because God is made it possible for them to do so, are using the very same excuses that they used, and Jeremiah confronted them with it. Plus, also, it's important to understand that they didn't do this out in the peripheries. They didn't do this secretly in their homes. They did it publicly at the very temple of God, where God said He would put His name. There they worshiped Baal. There they committed all sorts of sacrilegious and idolatrous acts. Now let's read it, beginning here in Jeremiah 7 and verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim." So he had to go there and stand. And Jeremiah was not lying, because he told the truth. He gave them the word of God. And they didn't like to hear it because it upset their idolatrous and sinful ways, which they had pleasure in, just like today. "And proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doing." So God, first of all, always calls for repentance. And God calls for repentance of Sunday keepers today. That they change, that they amend their ways, that they quit using the name of God on the first day of the week and saying that that is the Lord's day of the Christian Sabbath. Because as we have proven, it is not so. It is not true. There is no such thing as the Christian Sabbath being the first day of the week. That is the day of the sun. That is the day of the sun god. And he says that, "I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust not in lying words." And isn't that what people are trusting in today? Lying arguments? How many times did we see? But they know, the religious leaders know, and they understand that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week and not the first day of the week. The Catholics know it. The Protestants know it. Everyone knows it, but yet they want to trust in their lying words, because you see, the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and they want to have pleasure in their sin. And they want to do it right in the temple of God. They want to come right before God and stick their thumb right up before God, saying, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord of these," meaning that if we do it for God, everything is fine. Listen, God never sanctions sin. Understand that. And sin is the transgression of the law. God will never be honored by lies. God will never be honored by sin. Now, verse 5, "If you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings," that is, you quit your Sunday keeping, your Easter keeping, your Christmas keeping, and you cast it away from you, "and repent and amend your ways, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. See, because God gave the Sabbath is his commandment in love, so that the people of God would always have that direct connection between God and themselves. So when you do something that's contrary to the laws and commandments of God, which is the will of God, it's only to your hurt, because it's sin. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Verse 7. Then I will cause you to dwell in this place and in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. And that is going to be true of the United States of America, and of Canada, and Australia, and New Zealand. That if the people of God would change and repent, they could dwell in the land, but since they probably won't, then God is going to raise up the stranger within, and the silent invasion that has been taking place will overwhelm us and overtake us, and then we will be invaded by foreign troops and carried off into captivity just exactly like the Israelites were, because as we will see, they were carried off into captivity because of Sabbath breaking. We've already seen that, but we'll see it reaffirmed here. Verse 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit, and concerning the Sabbath day versus Sunday, the lying words that cannot profit are these. But everything that was on the seventh day has now been transferred to the first day. And those are lying words. But in the new covenant, now we have the first day of the week, and that is the Sabbath. Those are lying words. Oh, well, Christmas and Easter, oh, they're so wonderful and fine, and it's for the children anyway. That's pleasing human beings, and those are lying words. Will you steal? They steal God's name. Will you murder? Because you continuously sacrifice Christ, crucify him over and over again by living in sin. Will you commit adultery, physically and spiritually? Will you commit adultery with the great whore of Revelation 17 that is going to amalgamate and bring all the religions of the world together under the hegemony of the Pope, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? They don't even know and understand them. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. And that's exactly the phraseology that people have today concerning Sunday and Sunday keeping. We have been delivered from the law so that we can do these things. And they're an abomination before God because it's sun worship. In this house, which is called by my name, has it become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it. He says, now you go to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at first, and see what I did for the wickedness of the people of Israel. And the wickedness was going after other gods, and other gods always involved Sunday worship. And now, because you've done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke unto you rising up early and speaking, and you have not heard. And I called, and you have not answered. Therefore I will do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, and I will cast out all your brethren, even the whole house of Ephraim. Therefore, now there comes a time when God says he's had enough. Enough is enough is enough is enough. And that's what's going to happen with Sunday worship today, because the Protestants failed to bring the Reformation all the way to the Sabbath. They are going back to Rome. They are going back to the abomination of Rome, which is Babylon the Great. Only this time it's going to bring all the religions into it. And when that happens, and God, as we saw last time, gives them over to believing a lie through great delusion, then will be brought to pass, verse 16, right here in Jeremiah 7. Therefore, God told Jeremiah, pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor pray for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Now that day is going to come for us in this last time. Notice verse 17. It defines what they're doing. See you not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? Right there where God's name is. The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, the women knead the dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. So if you're going back to Rome, you're going right back to the Queen of Heaven worship under the guise supposedly of the Virgin Mary. That is idolatry. That is sin. That is against the Word of God. Because you refuse to keep the Word of God, because you refuse to keep the Sabbath, because you refuse to keep the holy days of God, because you refuse to do what's right in God's sight. Oh, you want to take His name, or you want to say, well, we'll keep 9 of the commandments. But God didn't say 9 is enough. Or, well, we'll keep 8 of the commandments. Oh, well, we'll just make our own standard. No. To the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to other God that they may provoke me to anger? Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves under the confusion of their faces, and isn't that true? Who knows in the realm of religion today what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is error? Because we all now, we have to get along and go along and do not speak evil of anything or anyone. And then all of the abominable false doctrines can come pouring in. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place and upon man, upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Question. Did that happen? Answer, yes. It happened twice. The Babylonian captivity and the captivity with the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and then the extension of that carried on to the Bar Kokhba Revolution, which ended in 135 AD. Were they scattered with the four winds? Were they rejected of God? Were they cursed? Yes. Why would anyone want to persist in their own way, in their own lives, and to bring a curse upon themselves? To be in such a condition that God will not hear your prayers. To be in such a condition that you love the abominations which God hates. To be in such a condition that you don't care and just say, well, God is going to bring it. Let Him bring it. Now here, let's go to Isaiah 28. We'll come back here to Jeremiah 7 again. Because you see, this is what you're actually doing when you reject the Word of God, which is the truth of God. When you reject the true Jesus Christ for the false Jesus, the false Messiah. When you reject the Sabbath for Sunday, and you reject the holy days for Christmas and Easter and the other abominations. And I just read recently that many of the Protestant churches are being brought back to Rome even a little further by this spring celebrating 40 days of Lent. Now I want you to read Isaiah 28, let's begin in verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. And if you continue in Sunday and the pagan holidays, that's exactly what you're into. There's no eternal life in Sunday. There's no eternal life in the pagan holidays. Eternal life comes through Jesus Christ, because He died for you and rose again to bring you eternal life. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But there, if you cling to the lies, if you cling to the false doctrines, if you cling to these things which are not right, then you have made a covenant unto death and are in agreement with hell. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. Because you see, in doing that, you say, well, it won't happen to us. Now, maybe it happened to them back there in the olden days, but it won't happen to us. It will happen to any people anywhere who reject God. For we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehoods, we have hid ourselves. Now notice, the only way out is through Christ. And here's a prophecy of it, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. So that's the way out, through Christ. Now, let's come back here to Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. And let's see something else. All the way through the book of Jeremiah, God talks about, obey my voice. Did not obey my voice. Did not listen to me. Now remember, when we started out this series, we went how many times to Genesis 26:5, that Isaac was to receive the blessing because his father Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now let's read it here. Verse 21, Jeremiah 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. Now who were they sacrificing to? Baal. Where were they sacrificing to Baal? Right at the temple of God. Were these noxious to God? Yes. So he says, for I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. That is, these sacrifices to the other gods. Surely he spoke to them about his own sacrifices, yes. But these wrong, abominable sacrifices to other gods, right in the temple of God, is just one of the greatest effrontries that a people could ever do to God. And yet God kept pleading with them to repent. God kept pleading with them to turn from their ways. God kept pleading with them to come back to him, like he does here in verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice. That means every word that God has spoken, that you read in the Bible, which says, thus saith the Lord. Moses, speak unto the children of Israel and say, thus saith the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are the words of God, aren't they? Did not God speak, as we saw from the top of Mount Sinai, to give the commandments to the people of God, which contain the Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath? Yes. Obey my voice. And I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk you in the ways that I have commanded, that it may be well with you. But you hearken not, nor inclined your ear. But they walked in the counsel and imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward from the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Did they not, right after Moses went up to the mount, after hearing the Ten Commandments, and God giving the Ten Commandments, did they not say, oh, where's this man Moses? We don't know where he is. And they came to Aaron and said, Aaron, make us God. So Aaron foolishly took all of their gold and made a molten calf, which is a symbol of Baal, and the molten calf had horns like this with a round sun disc right in the horns. And the people worshiped that and made merry, saying it's a feast unto the Lord. So they did it from the very day they came out of Egypt. Do we do the same thing today? Yes, we do. Does not the Catholic priest hold up the wafer, the round wafer, so-called the host, which is a round disc made under the sun? Is there not over the throne of the Pope there in St. Peter's Basilica a great sunburst? Yes, there are. And are there not four serpentine pillars going up from the base clear way up to the very top of the so-called sanctuary? Serpentine, picturing that Satan is the god that's holding up that? Yes. And do they not do the same thing? Does not the Pope burn incense and walk around with the incense and the smoke coming up? Yes. And the Protestants, following their command of keeping Sunday and Christmas and Easter, are going right back to Rome doing the same thing the children of Israel did here. Now let's read on. I have even sent unto them all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, yet they hearken not to me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. Well, that's what we're seeing happening today in this society. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak all these words unto them, and they will not hearken unto you, but you shall call unto them, but they will not answer you. So it's the same thing here today. If you hear these words of God read from the Bible, and you don't answer God's call to repentance, and you don't listen to the truth of God's word, then you are going to pay the penalty, because you have made a covenant with death. But you shall say unto them, this is a nation that obeys not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receives correction. Truth is perished, and it's cut off from their mouth. And God did cast them away. Let's come over here to Jeremiah 10 for just a minute. Jeremiah 10. Let's pick it right up here in verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. And Sunday is the way of the heathen. Now hold your place here and come back to Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. God warned them over and over and over and over again. But they wouldn't listen. They refused, just like he said. But here, Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, we'll see what God told them, pleaded with them, asked them to do, saying, I love you, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Same thing as the New Testament doctrine that Jesus brought. And remember, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, that is the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Question. Do you think that you can receive salvation if you reject the words of Christ? Now, remember, Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament who created the Sabbath, as we saw. If you refuse Christ, refuse his word, refuse his truth, refuse to listen, do you think that you're going to receive eternal life? Do you think that you can take the word of God and add to it and take away from it? And put in this little heathen practice, which is cute and nice, and this little one, which is so enjoyable, and to bring in so many people just to church them, just to have numbers in a building? Let's read what he says here. Verse 28, Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all the words which I command you, that is, hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, that it may go well with you, because God wants it to go well with you, and with your children after you forever, that you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Now, what is good and right? As we saw last time, all the commandments of God are true, all the statutes of God are true, all the law of God is true, and every precept that God has concerning all things are altogether right. And if we understand that, then it would go well with us. Now notice verse 29. Now he gives a warning after that. When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations from before you, where you go to possess them, and you succeed them, and dwell in their land. Take heed to yourself, that you be not snared. That means be entrapped by following them after that they be destroyed from before you, and that you inquire not after their God, saying, how did these nations serve their God? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fire to their God. Yes, they actually had the sacrifice of children when they were burnt in offering to Moloch and the Baal. And the priests ate the flesh of the children. That's where you get the name cannibal, or cannibals, meaning priests of Baal. Can you imagine that? Can you understand that? Can you see what kind of abomination this is to God? And yet the children of Israel did that very thing when he said, don't do that. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, for every abomination which he hates have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters have they burned in the fire to their God. Whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Now notice, you shall not add thereto nor diminish from it. That includes the Sabbath. That's the dividing line between Sabbath and Sunday. Because if you add Sunday, then you have violated the commandment of God and you've gone after the heathen. Now let's come back to Jeremiah 10. And part and parcel with the whole thing is Easter and Christmas and all of the pagan holidays that come along with it. Now back here to Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Learn not the way of the heathen. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, vanity, nothing. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. And they deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. And that's what people have just done, haven't they, with Christmas? Yes. They're upright as palm trees, and of course down in Egypt they used a palm tree. In the northern climes they use a pine tree or a fir tree. But they speak not, and they have to be carried around, that's what he said, because they cannot go themselves. And people used to worship those as gods. So people today say, well, we don't do it for that reason. Well, then why do you do it when God says not to? Well, they cannot do evil, neither is also in them to do good. Now, that doesn't give justification for doing it. It's just saying that these things are no gods to do good or evil. So why would you leave the true God and go after the tree? For as much as there is none like unto you, O Lord, you are great and your name is great. Now, let's come to Jeremiah 11. Let's begin right here in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear ye the word of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say unto them, thus says the God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant. Now let's project that forward to the new covenant. What is the curse for not obeying the words of the new covenant? But eternal death in the lake of fire. And whatever you claim that God sanctifies Sunday, you have broken the words of the covenant. Because as we saw in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, that the covenant that God makes with us is this, that he will blot out our sins and iniquities and remember them no more, and write into our minds and inscribe upon the tablets of our heart his commandments and his laws. So here is a prophecy of it here. which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and you can say, which Jesus Christ instituted on the night of the Passover, nice and 14, when he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body. When he passed the cup of wine and said, take, drink this. This is my blood in the new covenant. So you break that covenant, you're in deep trouble. And from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them which I commanded you, so that you shall be my people and I will be your God. He continued to say that. Let's come down here, verse 7. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in that day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising up early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Will you obey the voice of Jesus Christ when he said, and he still is today, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day? Not Sunday, the Sabbath day. Will you obey his voice? Or will you cling to your false, lying, deceitful doctrines, which say, oh, well, the Sabbath, that was a Jewish Sabbath, and God has delivered us from all of these Jewish things. Well, you see, that's how they denigrate the laws of God. The laws that Judaism has added to the laws of God and made it a great burden. Those are just as much sin as Sunday is sin. We need to understand that. Jesus said, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have come not to destroy, but to fulfill. That is, bring it to the full, and then fulfill all the prophecies concerning his first coming. So we have the same thing here. Verse 8. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. And notice verse 9. The Lord said to me, there is a conspiracy found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to their iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. He says, I'm going to bring evil upon you. Let's come over here to Jeremiah 16. You see, this applies today. These words and these prophecies are also for today. For modern Israel today, the people of America and Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, those are the people of Israel. And if you believe, as the Jews have said in their lies, that all of the Israelites were Jews, that is a lie. The children of Israel, the 10 tribes of the northern tribes, were carried off into captivity because of their sin. And then after that, the Jews said, well, they have been absorbed into the heathen, therefore we are the house of Israel. Not so. They are one tribe of Israel. Now let's pick it up here, Jeremiah 16. And verse 10, and it shall come to pass, when you shall show this people all these words, and they shall say unto you, wherefore has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Oh, well, God can't be that way. God is a God of love. Like we have today, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, God wouldn't do that. And you get a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart. That's not the love of God. God will pronounce it upon you, because unless your love is based upon keeping the commandments of God and serving him his way and obeying his voice, then God is going to bring it. Or what is our iniquity? Your iniquity is Sunday keeping, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, all of those things. That is the iniquity. Lying, cheating, murder, adultery, abortion, and every one of these things are the iniquity that God is going to bring. And what of our sin that we've committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. And isn't that true today? People don't want the truth. People don't understand the truth. And Sabbath keeping, Sabbath breaking, Sunday keeping, and all of these things are all tied together, because look at what happens to the society when they reject the Sabbath of God and his holy days and turn their back on God. They gradually get rid of every single one of the commandments. And that's where we are today. And we put in the White House a president that is a paranoid liar, that doesn't know the truth from error, and would rather tell a lie than the truth. And the people love it that way, and he's popular and wonderful. Well, when it gets that way, there is a day of reckoning coming, and it's not too far down the road. And so you need to ask yourself a question. What am I going to do? Or are you going to say, well, there goes this preacher again? He's got to come and attack everybody under the sun. No, I'm only reading you the words of God. And God says, if you return and repent, he'll forgive you and put it all under the blood of Jesus Christ. But you cannot continue in the way that you have been going. And you cannot come up from the abomination of Sunday keeping and all the pagan holidays as if you're coming up from eating all the abominable things of the earth and wipe your mouth and say, we are delivered to do it. Never happen. God won't listen to you. Come over here to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse 19. Right here in the middle of it. God said, all right, if you'll honor the Sabbath, I won't send you into captivity. If you'll just turn, if you will just listen, if you will just respond, God said. Verse 19, thus says the Lord unto me, go stand at the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out in all the gates of Jerusalem. So he had to go to every one of the gates and stand there and give this message. Then move on to another gate and stand there and give that message. Move on to another gate and stand there and give that message. And say unto them, hear the word of the Lord. You kings of Judah and all Judah. So it begins right at the very top, doesn't it? And all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, you that enter in by these gates, thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day. Neither do you any work, but hallow you the Sabbath as I commanded your fathers. Well, he gave another chance, didn't he? How many times must people be told? I mean, isn't it something that just consider the millions and millions and billions of people around the world that come to their churches and cathedrals on Sunday and say, we're delivered to do these things, and participate in abominable ceremonies, which are just what you might say, sanitized form of Baal worship. And they won't listen. And they won't hear. Or they'll worship the Virgin Mary. Or they'll bow down to the Pope. Or they will say, we're delivered to do Sunday. Oh, God hates those Jews, so therefore, you know, the Sabbath, we can't do that. Look at the Jews did not keep the Sabbath. Some people say that God gave the Sabbath day to curse the Jews. Wrong, wrong, wrong. God gave the Sabbath day to be a blessing and intended it to be. Let's continue on here, verse 23. That they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff. that they might not hear nor receive instruction. That's what I'm saying to you. Make your hair on the back of your neck bristle. Does it make you want to not hear another word that I'm saying? Then you put yourself right in the company with those who rejected God and His Sabbath. And they were Jews. And they were keeping Sunday. Do you understand what I'm saying? God never gave the Sabbath as a curse. God gave it as a blessing. God gave it in truth. Can we come to yield to God with a tender heart, yielded mind, willing acceptance and loving of God, to keep His commandments, to keep His Sabbath, to keep His holy days, to keep all of the things that Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you profess to love Jesus Christ? If you don't keep His commandments, including the Sabbath and holy days, you don't love Him. You may have a false love. You may have a deceitful love. You may have an experience that Satan, the devil, would want you to have because it's a counterfeit Christ, counterfeit Jesus, counterfeit way. It's not in the Bible. We'll see that by the time we're done with this series. Well, what will you do? Will you listen to God? Will you change? Will you turn? Will you repent? It's all up to you. You know, the average Protestant today does not have a clue that the Jews and the children of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, were carried off into captivity because of Sunday keeping. They were worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth. Because you see, the Protestant ministers and teachers and those who still follow Rome, because as we saw, the Catholics have chided the Protestants and say, by what authority do you keep Sunday and Easter and Christmas? You can search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and find not one word authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. If you want to follow the Bible, you Protestants, as you claim, then you ought rightly keep the seventh day Sabbath. They know. You know. But they haven't been told that the children of Israel and Judah, in worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth, were rejected out of their inheritance because they were committing idolatry and keeping Sunday. So therefore, all those who keep Sunday are right back to the trough of abominations that the children of Israel and the children of Judah were doing. Now God gave them a chance again. Let's read here, now continuing. Verse 23. But they obeyed not, neither inclined to hear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor received instruction. And it shall come to pass. Now notice, even when God was giving the warning, you're going into captivity. It shall come to pass, if you will diligently hearken unto me, to the voice of God, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day. Now, you stop and think about modern-day Israel. What is the greatest shopping day? Saturday, the Sabbath. And how many sports do they have on it? They teach their children to break the Sabbath by having sports and activities on the Sabbath, don't they? Yes, God said, okay, if you will hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, everyone loves their overtime Saturday work, don't they? Yes. Then there shall enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David. He would forgive. He would take away the captivity. He would not send them off if they returned to him. And the king would still be there. The Jews have no king today because they rejected God under the old covenant, sent off into the Babylonian captivity. And from that time on, they only had a governor. There was no throne of David there in Jerusalem. And then when it came the time for the one to inherit the throne, Jesus Christ, they rejected him. He says, yes, they would be there, riding in chariots and horses, and they and their princes and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places round about Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meal offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if you will refuse, if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath, and not to bear a burden, even entering into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Question, did that happen? We already pointed out twice. Now, if you want some very instructive reading, you get the book of Josephus, the history of the Jews. While he refused to write about Christ in the church, except what looks like an insertion by some translator, he did accurately depict the fall of Jerusalem during the Babylonian captivity and the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And it was horrible indeed, because there comes a time the word God says, enough is enough is enough is enough. Now, how close are we getting to that right now? Well, I tell you what, we'll soon find out. Let's come here to Isaiah, the first chapter. Now, let's look at one where a lot of Protestant ministers go to say, see, God hates the Sabbath. Now, how can God hate something that he gave for their good? Let's read it, Isaiah, the first chapter. This is very instructive, but you have to read it to understand what it's really saying. God says, delight yourself in my Sabbath. How can God hate the Sabbath that he gave as a delight? Well, by the very actions of men, if they're keeping the Sabbath, or the day that they have changed and call it their Sabbath. Now, Isaiah 1, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. And that's just the way this society is today. Now they know that they have so many homosexual priests in the Catholic Church, and they have the highest rate of AIDS of any group of people in the world. And they claim they represent God. Pray tell, if you're a Catholic, you better repent. If you're a priest, you better give up being a priest of Baal, because that is what you are. You are no priest unto God if you are a homosexual, and you carry around the curse of AIDS, which God has brought upon you to teach you a lesson, to show you not to do those abominations. So that's what he says here. And give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah, which then covers all of the rest, the illegal, illicit sex of adultery and fornication and abortion and all of that to go with it? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? Because you see, they really weren't to him. They were to what? The other gods. I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who is required at your hand to tread my courts? And as we saw with Jeremiah, under the other gods, right in the house of God. One of the worst kings that ever was King Manasseh. And he put an idol right in the house of God and all the hosts of heaven and built all the homosexual tents all around it. What is the purpose of that? When you come to appear before me, who's required it at your hand to tread my courts? What purpose is it on Sunday that you go to worship on Sunday and you hear the minister say, God has delivered us from the law? No. God has delivered you from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law is sin. And the curse of the law is death. He hasn't delivered you from the law that you don't have to keep it. That now you can believe the lie that Sunday is the day of worship when it is not. When you call Sunday the Christian Sabbath, when it never was. Now notice, bring no more vain oblation, incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Now notice verse 14. Your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul hates. Why? Because their new moons and their Sabbaths and their ways were the pagan days. That's why he hated it. God would not hate his own Sabbath. God would not hate his own holy days. But he hates it when people come with the wrong attitude. Now, it says here, continuing, they are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now let's go to Isaiah 66. And let's just say this. Even if you are keeping the right days that God has said you should keep, and we have seen this with the churches of God, haven't we? That they do keep the Sabbath and they do keep the holy days. But what is it that they do? They are committing adultery, they're lying, they're cheating, they're stealing, their heart and their attitude is wrong before God. So here, Isaiah 66, God makes it very clear. Even if you have the right days, even if you follow the law in the letter, but your heart is not right before God, even that becomes an abomination to God. Because God wants a willing heart. God wants a yielded mind. God wants a contrite spirit. Well, let's pick it up here in verse 1, Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all these things has my hand made, and those things have been, says the Lord. See, because what is greater than a magnificent building? What is greater than a temple of God? What is greater than a church building? A contrite and humble heart and spirit, and one that worships God in spirit and in truth, and one that loves God with all her heart, mind, and soul, and being. See, because then you have a relationship with God. Otherwise, you just have a religion, and you have a building, and you put confidence in physical things, and know for sure God is going to remove it, and God is going to take it away, that you may repent and come back to him. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Do you tremble at the word of God? Do you love the word of God? Do you fear disobeying God? Do you fear transgressing the word of God? Do you fear breaking the Sabbath day and doing your own thing? Do you? Now notice, you can be religious as can be. You can offer a sacrifice according to the way that God said under the old covenant to offer it. But if your heart isn't right, what good does it do? Verse 3, he that kills an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. Which we already saw what they were, didn't we? I will also choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I delight not. Now again, let's come back to the first chapter of Isaiah. It's kind of like Jesus said, I'm the beginning and the end. So here we can tie the beginning of Isaiah together with the end of Isaiah. And here, right in the beginning, he gives a solution. And here's what it needs to be. Well, let's come here to verse 16. Wash you through the proper baptism and the cleansing of the washing of the water by the word. Make you clean by doing the things that are right. Put away from you your evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. And Sunday keeping and the pagan holidays are all evil, as we've seen how many times? Yes. Learn to do well. That is the proper worship of God, the proper Sabbath keeping. The proper keeping of the commandments of God is magnified by Jesus Christ. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. God will listen. God will hear when there's repentance. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, in the new covenant, if you be willing and obedient, you will inherit eternal life. But, verse 20, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, that's quite a thing. We need to understand just exactly what that is. Now, let's come to the New Testament here. Let's come to 1 John, the second chapter. And let's see what the Apostle John wrote. Now, again, I know that we've covered this in the past, but that's been quite a few back from the beginning of this. 1 John, the second chapter. And here's how we need to model our life, right here. And we need to do so by loving God, as Christ said, with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. God doesn't want some part-time Sunday worship. God wants your whole being. God does not want you going out and adding the pagan abominations to his way. He wants you to reject it because it's part and parcel of the world and Satan the devil. Not of God. Now notice verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him. Do you really know that you know Christ? Even though on Sunday a lot of ministers and people say, know the Lord, know the Lord. But they don't know him because they're Sunday keepers. They may know of him from reading some scriptures, but they don't know him. Because they are not fellowshipping with him on the Sabbath. They are not keeping his laws and his commandments. Now notice, here is the if. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now you think on that. And as Christ said, let this sink deep into your ears. Or as we just learned in the Old Testament, to obey my voice. Now notice verse 4. Are you this person? Does this apply to you? It surely does to all of those who profess Sunday. It surely does to all of those who teach Sunday, who teach commandment breaking. How can you teach commandment breaking in the name of Christ when he came to forgive sins, which is commandment breaking? It's an impossibility. Verse 4, he that says, and that means anyone who says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar. Are you a liar? Do you believe a lie? Do you reject the truth of God? And it says, and the truth is not in him. Are you the same as the children of Israel and the children of Judah in the old covenant? That you reject God's ways? Now notice, verse 5. Whosoever is keeping his word, and Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath day. Do you keep his word concerning the Sabbath? Do you keep his word concerning the first commandment and the second commandment and the third commandment, as well as the fourth commandment and the fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and ninth and tenth? And do you keep the commandments as magnified by Jesus Christ in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Do you? His word. In him, verily, is the love of God perfected. So you see here very clearly that there can be no such thing as the love of God while you're breaking the commandments of God. That is a contradiction. And if you do not keep the commandments of God and love him and let God's love be perfected in you through his Spirit and through his truth and through his word, then you are rejecting Christ. If you keep Sunday in the name of Christ, you are in fact rejecting Christ. Do you understand that? What it's saying here. And hereby we know that we abide in him. Do you abide or dwell in Christ? He that says, now verse 6, that he abides in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Question, did Jesus ever sin? Answer, no. Did he ever break the Sabbath? Answer, no. Did he always do the things that please God? Yes. Is that how you're walking? Is that the standard and goal that you are seeking for? Is that the purpose in your life? Or do you want to go around in your own self-deception and claim the name of God while you continue in your sins and do the same as the ancient Israelites and the Jews? To say, we're delivered to do these things, when you have not been. Now come over here to verse 15. Because you see, if you do those things, that is the way of the world. And if you love those things, then the love of God is not in you. Notice verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And is not Sunday a thing that is in the world, a command of men? Yes, it is. And don't the Catholics arrogantly taunt the Protestants that they ought to know better? Because if you're keeping Sunday, you're following the Pope, because the Pope did these things by his own decree. And the decree, as we saw last time, of Constantine. So if you follow Sunday, you're rejecting God, you're following the way of the world and the pagan emperor of Rome, and you are not following God. You are loving the world and the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that is a perfect description of Sunday and all of the pagan holidays, that it's all based upon lust. You stop and think about the so-called thing concerning Christmas, which is really honoring the sun god Mithras. And everything about Christ being born on that day is a lie. As I've said how many times, you cannot worship the God of truth with a lie. You lie to your children that there's a Santa Claus. You get them all involved in lust and coveting after things and give me this and give me that and give me the other thing. You teach them to have idolatry by having a Christmas tree in your house. And all of that stems from Sunday keeping. You teach them to look to someone else beside you as a parent to receive gifts and good things. No, that's all of the world. that is not of God. Let's come to 2 Peter, the second chapter here for just a minute. And let's see that these things come in because the way of truth is evil spoken of or blasphemed, as it is in the Greek. And that's what all of the Protestant ministers and teaching have to do, blaspheming God. That's what the Catholic doctrine is blasphemy against God and his way. 2 Peter, the second chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people. We just read about that, didn't we? All the false prophets saying it's okay to do these things. We're delivered to do it. Oh, bring Baal right here in the house of God. He won't mind. We're ecumenists. That'll be just good. We're all going to heaven. Bring in Moloch. Bring in the abomination of the Zidonians. Let's set it right up here in the house of God and we'll have a good ecumenical service together. God has delivered us to do this. That's what they said. Even as there also shall be false teachers among you, so it comes right into the church of God. How many things have we seen concerning the Sabbath, the Passover, the holy days, clean and unclean meats, and all of those things? Who shall privily bring in damnable heresies? That is, they'll stealthily do. They have an agenda. They have something they're going to do themselves, even denying the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Isn't that what they do concerning the Sabbath? Is not the Sabbath the truth of God? Is not the Sabbath the day of worship for God? Yes. Do they not speak evil of the Sabbath? Do they not say that if you keep the Sabbath, you're Judaizing? Well, most people do not even know what Judaizing is. Judaizing has nothing to do with commandment keeping, but it has to do with keeping the traditions of the Jews, which Christ has rejected. So they speak evil of it. Do you accept them speaking evil of it? Do you think that you're delivered to do those things? Well, no. And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. This sounds like Pat Robertson's program. Get money. We got a goal. $150,000 in the next hour. Roll the drums. Play the timpani. Send in the money. It's all part of the world. Being merchandise, whose judgment now a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. And I says, I want you to pay attention here. I want you to realize and understand something profound that you as human beings need to really grasp concerning God. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, that is Tartarus, place of restraint, the abyss, as we're talking about there in Revelation 9 and Revelation 20, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, are you under chains of darkness because of sin? Here, hold your place here, and let's come to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus Christ describes this. Matthew, the 6th chapter. The true light of the world is Jesus Christ, is it not? And is not the word of God a lamp to our feet to show us which way to go? Now let's see what Jesus says here. He says, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. There's something profound about the eyes. If therefore your eye be single, that is, single-minded in purpose toward the kingdom of God and Christ, and loving and serving God, your whole body shall be full of light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But if your eye be evil, by going against the commandments of God, by rejecting the truth of God, by rejecting the Sabbath of God, by rejecting the commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, shall not make any graven image of any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or on the earth beneath, and bow down to it. your body shall be full of darkness. And if the light that be in you be darkness, which comes from Satan the devil, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You can't serve God and you can't serve Baal. You can't take the name of Christ and the Lord God and put it upon, superimpose it over Baal and say, this is God. For either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, meaning you cannot serve God in your own way. You cannot serve God and have your own religion. You cannot serve God and make up your own commandments. It will never be. Will never be. Now let's come back here to 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. So pay attention. If God didn't spare the angels, Peter's saying, watch out, because God is not going to spare you. Now notice verse 5. And spared not the old world. You go back and read what happened there. Let's do that. Let's just go back and read what happened. Go to Genesis 6. Let's see. And we're coming to this again, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What was it? How bad was it? How bad is our society getting? And it all stems from rejecting God's way and superimposing all the abominations of the religions of this world upon God. And God will not endure that. He'll be kind, he'll be merciful, he'll be sparing, but the day is coming when he's going to pull it up short, just like he did in the days of Noah. Now notice, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Is that not where we're coming today? And are we not going to do it in a much more accelerated way? Are we not living in an age of knowledge where we have instantaneous communication, instantaneous knowledge? People can just grow in sin and knowledge of this world. All you have to do is get on the internet and click through it. Yes, there is some truth there. Yes, there are some people trying to do good. But you look at all the evil that's going on there too. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They were in a total occult Satanist society with the exception of Noah and his family. And we are fast coming to the same point of an occult Satanist society. Notice what happened. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at heart. Do you grieve God because of your way? Do you grieve God because of your sins? Do you grieve God because you take the name of Jesus Christ and attach it to your Sunday and all of your pagan holidays? And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you repent, you'll find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yes, you will. Now, let's come back here to 2 Peter, the second chapter. He wants us to understand that the flood was a great judgment because of sin. And if God did that, and this is New Testament doctrine, you see, just think what he's going to do because of all the filthy abominations that are done in the name of God today. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood in upon the world of the ungodly. Now, if you don't keep the commandments of God, you are ungodly. And as one man wrote, which is very profound, he said, though your morals be impeccable, if you do not worship the true God, you are an atheist. And if you're an atheist, then you're ungodly. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly, and delivered just, now that means righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing the things that they were doing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. For the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So God can deliver you. Or are you going to go on like the rest of those who reject God, who turn their back on Christ, who go against the way of God, and follow all the rest here? You read the rest of 2 Peter, the second chapter. Let's come down here to verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. And we've seen that happen even within churches of God. Men come in and do this very thing, having eyes full of adultery, that which cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who led the wages of unrighteousness. And Balaam was the high priest at Pethor, right there on the Euphrates River. And that's just like saying the Pope in St. Peter's Basilica, because Pethor means Peter. Follow that way. He was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom is the mist of darkness reserved forever. Or when, and this is exactly what happens every single Sunday when they come up discussing the Sabbath Sunday question. For when they shall speak great swelling words of vanity. All you have to do is turn on any religious channel. Watch these great and famous preachers. Great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Even those who were clean escape from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty, saying, you have been delivered to do these things. That now Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same he's brought into bondage. Are you in the bondage of Sunday and the pagan holidays? Have you been overcome by it? Have you turned your back on the Sabbath? Were you once a Sabbath keeper and are now a Sunday keeper? Were you once keeping the holy days of God and now you're keeping the feast days of Balaam? Have you been brought into bondage for that? For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and are overcome, the latter end with them is worse than the beginning. Is that where you are? Do you love God's Sabbath? Do you love God's Word? Do you love God's holy days? Or do you believe the lie that Satan has perpetrated on all of Protestantism and all of Catholicism, and yea, the whole world? It says here, for it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness, then, after they had known it, to turn again from the holy commandment delivered to them. There is still time. There is still a way of repentance that God gives. You can come out of it. You can begin to come back to God, as we saw there, Isaiah the first chapter, Revelation the third chapter. Repent and be zealous there. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. So if you have left the Sabbath and gone back into Sunday keeping, you're right back in the cesspool of the world's religion and all the satanic lies that come with it. If you are in Sunday keeping and pagan holiday keeping, come out of it, repent. God says repent. Let's come here to Revelation 18, where God pleads with his people, where God cries out to his people. Let's pick it up here in verse 2. And he cried, that is the angel coming down out of heaven with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Listen, this whole world system and religion is going to fall. And it's become the habitation of devils and a hole for every fowl and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Where all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, of great Babylon, which is all the pagan religions of this world. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Will you come out of Babylon the Great? Will you forsake Sunday keeping and pagan holiday keeping? Will you return to God in truth and repentance, to love him, to keep his commandments, and to serve him with all your heart, mind, and being? Will you? It says, if you do, then you will not be partakers of her sins that you receive not of her plagues. But if you don't, you're going to be partaker of her sins and receiver of the plagues. So this thing of Sabbath keeping versus Sunday keeping is a very important and profound thing. So next time I'm going to go through every place where it talks about the first day of the week, and we will examine it very carefully to see what really took place. Were there indeed worship services going on, and was this indeed a sanctification of Sunday instead of the Sabbath?